begin our reading at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Ask that you speak to us through it this evening. Give us the direction and the leadership that we need. Help us, Lord, to realize that we do need your direction and leadership. Lord, all of us need that. All Americans need that. Everyone in the world needs that. But so many do not realize that you are who and what they need. So, Father, I pray that you help us to do our part, to share the good news, and to share that which is necessary for spiritual growth. Meet with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been asked a lot of questions over decades, almost 48 years. If I make it through the end of the next month, it'll be 48 years I've been preaching God's Word. And among some of the most common questions, I can't possibly give you all the common questions, but some of the top 10 or 8 that I've listed here: how do you know that the Bible is true? Another one: how do you know that you are right? One pastor said that a lady came to him and said, "You Baptists think you are so right." I don't know, there's some truth in that. Why are there so many denominations? We spent a year in Sunday school answering that question some years ago, and somebody said, "Maybe we'll do it again, and perhaps we will." How can I understand the Bible? How can I know God's will for my life? Why do you believe the way you do? If there is a God, why doesn't he communicate with people? If there is a God, why doesn't he show himself to people? Well, all of these questions and more have answers, and the answers to all of them are found in the Bible. The problem is that most people have not read the Bible, and they've not read it at all. And among those who have read the Bible, majority of them have read only certain parts of it. They've never read it as a whole. Now, it's okay to read parts of the Bible. I don't recommend that every time you open it, you read the whole thing. That would be difficult from a time point of view. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't read the whole thing, you don't get the entire picture. And you need to have the entire picture in order to understand what's being said in those parts that you do want to read. Many of those who have read say they can't understand what they're reading. So, how then can we read and read with understanding so that we can find the answers that we need? When it comes down to what we really want, what we really desire is to know and to understand God. That's wonderful. Jesus said, "Blessed are they hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." And the Lord said, "Those who seek me early shall find me." So, where do we go to find how to know God? Well, who knows God better than God? So why don't we go to the primary source? Why don't we go to God himself and ask him what we need to know. And that's exactly what we do when we open the scriptures. Look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but as it is written. Now, anytime in the New Testament you see those words, as it is written, that means it's written somewhere in the Old Testament. And I tell you, it would behoove you to go back and look and find out where that is, because it'll give you a better understanding of what you're reading in the New Testament. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, what he's saying here is this: no earthbound human eye has ever seen these things. No earthbound human ear has ever heard these things. No earthbound human heart has ever even imagined. Some years ago, there was a Christian popular song titled I Can Only Imagine. I saw recently they made a movie based on that song. I haven't seen the movie, and I'm sure not going to try to sing the song for you. But basically, as I understand it, basically it's somebody talking about they can only imagine what their loved one is experiencing in heaven. That's not a bad premise. But you know what this verse tells us? There are things that you can't even imagine. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to come. Now, I've seen many testimonies, and we had a man stand here years ago right here and give testimony. He said that he died and saw heaven and was allowed to come back. Is that true? What he said? His story was believable. But I've heard a lot of folks talk like that. I've heard folks talk about they went to hell and came back. What about that? Well, I tell you one way to know what about that. As you listen to these stories, check it out with Scripture and see what they say lines up with the Bible. Because I've heard some that didn't. And I think, yeah, listen to them, you know, that's not what the Bible says. By the way, that's for me, I'm not home, I'm at the church. check it out. I saw this and that. I didn't know you. I didn't know. How did you see what they said? I didn't, but I know it doesn't line up with Scripture. But sometimes I've heard folks say things that, well, maybe. Maybe. Paul indicated that he had such an experience, but he also said he couldn't. He wasn't permitted to describe everything he saw. And the same writer tells us here, you can't even imagine the things which God has prepared, and there's a qualifier here, for them that love him. These things aren't prepared for those who don't love God. These things aren't prepared for those who reject Christ. These things aren't prepared for those who delete his word from their life. Prepare for those that love him. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How can we know the things that we cannot see or hear or imagine? Well, we have to go directly to God. And God revealed these things by his Spirit. And it goes on to say, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How are you going to know what is true? How are you going to know what is right? You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now you think about that. That's true. You and your spirit know things about yourself that nobody else knows. You know things about yourself that your closest loved one does not know. Why? Because you keep it to yourself. Well, wouldn't it be the same with God? Take a look here. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying? Who knows God like God? And if you want to know God, you go to the source. We who are believers, we who have trusted Jesus, have the Spirit of God, and that is so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Those things which God has revealed. Listen, there are some things you're not going to know in this life. You're just not. God promised that a long, long time ago in Deuteronomy 29:29. He said that secrets belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. That's a great verse, isn't it? You know what that verse tells us? There are things that are revealed that God has given to us, that God has shown to us, God shares with us, and they're ours. There are things that God has kept to himself. Well, why did he do that? Well, I'm sure he has better reasons than I can think of. But I can think of a couple. If God showed us everything, he could share that. That's one thing. Another thing is, there's some things we don't need to know until it's the right time for us to know. Now, again, I'm sure God has better reasons than what I can think of, but I want you to take a look. I think we looked at this passage or part of it last Sunday, but I want you to look at it again. I want you to place it here in 1 Corinthians 2 and back up with me, Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And this is the promise of the Spirit that's referred to in the book of Acts. But in John, chapter 14, look at verse 16. Now, John 14, 15, 16, the Lord speaking to the apostles not long before the crucifixion. He's giving them some last minute instructions. But in chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." How long does he stay with you? Forever. Who is this comforter? Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." The unsaved man does not have the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, the indwelling of the Spirit. That is the promise. Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more." He was about to go to the cross. "But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Now, the Lord is talking to us here about that promise of the Spirit. Look at chapter 16, John chapter 16, and verse 7. John 16, and verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." What's going to happen then? Well, he tells us in verse 8, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts people of their sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father." He shows us righteousness, and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit becomes our teacher then. Verse 11, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come," same terminology he used in chapter 14, "when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." It is the Holy Spirit that guides us and helps us to come to the knowledge of the truth and to know and understand the truth. If you study the Bible, and many people have done this, and you study the Bible, and you might study it for years, you might be an expert in the languages, you might understand what all is said, you may know the history of it, but you do not have the Spirit of God. You will not understand what you're studying. Oh, you'll get parts of it, but you'll misunderstand a great deal of it. Why? Because you need the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Now, I'm not against scholarship, don't get me wrong. I'm not against education. But education minus the Spirit is extremely vital. Again, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How do you understand prophecy? You need the guidance of the Spirit. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? To glorify Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the Savior. You cannot come to know God except through him. And so the Holy Spirit does not glorify himself. He glorifies the Savior. There are some people, and I think some very sincere people, who put an overemphasis on the Spirit. Can you do that? You can if you do it to the neglect of the Savior. We ought to believe in the Spirit of God. We ought to trust the Spirit of God. We ought to surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. We ought to pray to the Spirit of God. Oh, I don't know about praying to the Spirit. Why not? Is he not part of the Godhead? Is he therefore not God? Nothing wrong with praying to the Spirit. It's not wrong to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I'm reading. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I've just read. Holy Spirit, help me to understand how to apply what I've just read. Holy Spirit, help me. I need to speak to this person, or I need to speak to these people. Holy Spirit, help me. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, not only is it not wrong, it's necessary. Then verse 14 again, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit hears what the Father says, the Spirit hears what the Son has, and delivers it to us so that we understand all things that the Father hath in mind. Therefore I said unto you, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 again. So again, 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that ye might know, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us in our understanding. Skip down for a second to verse 14. But the natural man, the unsaved man, the unbeliever, the person who has not received Christ, therefore does not have the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A few years ago, I was in a place not too far from here, fairly easy drive, and I went there to hear a man speak who was famous in certain circles. If I mentioned his name, you might not have heard of him, but many people have. And he holds a very high position in one of the best-known seminaries in the United States. As a matter of fact, he's the chairman of the New Testament department. And listen to this man speak. And I listened to him say things about the Gospels that weren't even accurate. And I'd heard of this man before. I read some articles that he had written, and truth be told, they were good articles. I was interested in hearing him speak, but as I heard him speak, there were things that he said, and I thought, that's not right. It's not what the Bible says. For example, he said, Jesus said, whom did men say that I am? Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me. He said, wait a minute. Read your Bible. Yes, all that happened. It didn't happen together. You're talking about two different instances. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Satan, because Peter said, thou art the Christ. That's not right. And yet there were some people sitting there listening to him. Professor, head of the Department of New Testament in a famous seminary here in the United States, and they listen to that. Are they going to study their Bible and see what he tells them is true or not? Probably not. They're going to listen to him and say, well, that must be right. He also said that Matthew copied his gospel from Mark. Think about that. The longest gospel in the Bible is copied from the shortest gospel in the Bible. Does that even make sense? Mm-hmm. And there's strong evidence that Matthew wrote his gospel before Mark wrote his. So why did this man stand up there in front of young people and tell them? I'm not sure. Afterwards, I said to the man's assistant, I said, Dr. So-and-so, a believer? Assistant said, yeah, I think so. Why he asked? I said, well, I wondered from what he said. I really wonder if he even knows the Lord. A little bit later, I got to meet the professor himself. He asked me to debate with him on a certain subject, not a public debate, just one-on-one. And I said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. Why didn't you turn that opportunity down? Because I couldn't see any good that would come from it. He wasn't going to change his thinking, and I certainly wasn't going to change mine. So what we would have ended up doing was just arguing. No point. Folks, what I'm telling you is, and what the Bible is telling you, is if you do not have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you're going to read the Bible and not get it. You need to have the Spirit of God. Well, then how can an unsaved person read the Bible and come to know Christ? Well, you can, because the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and glorifies Christ. So read verse 12 again. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. You'll never understand the Lord's word through the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But the natural man, receiveth, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He's not able to know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Now, what kind of things are we talking about? Go to verse 13. Which things also we speak. Who's we in this verse? Well, Paul and the other writers of Scripture. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The writings of Paul and the other writers of the Bible are under the inspiration and the direction of the Spirit of God. And that's what he's saying here. I've heard people say, well, men wrote the Bible. Well, that's true. Men did pen the Bible. That's right. Well, therefore, it can't be God's word. Why not? Well, if it's God's word, why didn't he write it himself? You know, he did. What? He did. When he gave Moses the original tablets on Mount Sinai, it was, and the Bible says it this way, written with the finger of God. And what did man do with that? Broke it. Read it carefully, the story. When Moses goes back to get the other, God makes him write it. I gave it to you once. Now you do the work. Was that second writing any less inspired than the first? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Peter tells us the Spirit of God moved upon holy men, and they wrote as the Holy Spirit directed. So, verse 13, Paul says, which things also we speak? What things? The things that are given to us by God through the Spirit. Which things also we speak? Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The way to understand the parts of the Bible you don't understand is to compare it with the other parts of the Bible. Spiritual things with spiritual. We told you this morning, the reason there are books that are called apocryphal books is that they are not considered to be inspired. What keeps them from being inspired? They have errors, and they are not in harmony with the rest of the Scripture. The books that we have in the canon are without error, and they harmonize with each other. Matter of fact, a study tool that's not difficult to find, especially in today's internet, but even before that, you can find it many times in the back of a Bible, or there are books written that are called Harmony of the Gospels. And what the harmony of the Gospels does is it takes the four Gospels and harmonizes them together so that you can see they're not telling four different stories. They're telling the same story from four different viewpoints. Not only can you harmonize the Gospels, you can harmonize all of Scripture. It does not contradict. Maybe you've heard people say, well, there's so many contradictions in the Bible. Ever ask somebody to show you one? The average person who says that doesn't know what they're talking about. They've heard somebody else say that, so they use that. They've never read and they've never discovered any contradiction themselves, but they've heard somebody else say that, so they just use that for an argument. Not like most arguments that people use. They've never studied and researched things out. They just say what they've heard other people say. Could give you a lot of examples of that, but I think you understand. So verse 14 again, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The man who does not have the Holy Spirit because he has not been born again, because he does not know the Lord, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. Same writer, same book, is going to tell us that the lost world sees preaching of the gospel as foolishness. But unto those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. So they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, that can he know them, not able to know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, unsaved man does not have the Spirit of God, is limited, therefore, in his understanding of the Word. The saved man, by contrast, who does have the Spirit of God, needs to surrender his will to the Spirit of God so as to be guided into all truth by that same Spirit. One who is saved, one who has been born again, but does not rely upon the Spirit, studies in his own strength, and he's going to miss a lot. He is. You need the guidance of the Spirit. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What does that mean, he himself is judged of no man? It doesn't mean nobody's ever been saying bad about you. It means that the spiritual things that you understand are correct, and there's nobody who's going to be able to correct you if you are guided by the Spirit. But now, again, to be guided by the Spirit means that we need to be surrendered to the Spirit. Spiritual discernment comes as we surrender our understanding to the understanding of the Spirit of God. So when you sit down to read the Bible, you need to pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm about to read. Pray as you read. Holy Spirit, help me understand. When you've read it, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I've read and apply it in my life. Now, I'm certainly not against this. Don't misunderstand me. But there are a lot of folks who advocate reading the Bible through a year. And the fact is, you can. And many people have. Many people are doing it as we speak. And is there anything wrong with that? Not one thing in the world. How do you do it? It works this way. If you read four chapters a day, you'll read the Bible through a year. Actually, just under a year. You'll read the whole thing, four chapters a day. Now, some chapters are longer, some chapters are shorter, and that's just how it is. But you read four chapters a day, you'll read the whole Bible in a year. And you'll have it all. Now, that's good, and it's a good practice, a good habit. Many people do it. Many people do that for their daily devotions. Some people do their devotions otherwise. I heard one of the most famous preachers in America say that the way he has his devotions is every morning he reads part of the Gospels and part of the Psalms. Is there anything wrong with that? Nothing at all. Other people read the book of Proverbs every day. 31 chapters of Proverbs, they'll read a chapter corresponding with the day of the month. For example, today you read Proverbs chapter 8. Anything wrong with that? Nothing more with the way you get wisdom. Well, if there's all these different methods of reading the Bible, which one is best? Can I help you? The one that works for you. And can I share with you a greater principle? The greater principle is just get in there and read it. But as you read, ask the Holy Spirit can guide you and give you that understanding. And again, surrender your understanding to His. If you'll do that, here's what will happen. Over time, you're going to find things work out and things open up, and you're going to understand more and more and more. And the more you read, the more you'll understand, because what's going to happen is you're going to be reading over here in Corinthians, and you're going to see that where it says in verse 9, as it is written, you're going to go back and look to see where it's written, and you're going to say, oh, now I get what that was talking about there, because it's what we understand here, and it all works together. That's why we just finished studying through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, because it explains so much of what you read in the Old Testament. But you need to just keep going, keep reading. And the more you read, and the more you pray, and the more you surrender to the Spirit, the more you will understand. Look at verse 16 to finish. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Are we going to instruct God? Are we going to read his word and tell him what it means? Or are we going to let him tell us what it means? Now, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. So as we humbly and obediently ask the Spirit of God to guide us in the study of his word, we're going to gain understanding. Look at verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Have even imagined the things which God hath prepared for them that love. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things. When we're saved, we receive Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's to be with us always, as the Lord promised. We need daily to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him lead us. And as Jesus promised, he will guide us into all truth. That's the way to understand your Bible. Read it. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. And don't argue with him when he shows you what it says. By the way, how do I know I'm understanding and interpreting correctly? Well, number one, trust the Spirit. Number two, compare Scripture with Scripture. You're never going to find contradiction in the Scripture. You're going to find harmony. If I could leave you with one thing, it would simply be this. Take your Bible and read it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you for giving us your word so clear and so true. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we are guided into all truth. Help us not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in you with all our heart, and to call upon you and trust you to guide us as we study your word. Now, Father, help us as we close this service. There's a spiritual need in anyone's life here. May they realize this is the time to allow your Spirit to speak to them and to do the things that you would have us to do. Father, we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing tonight hymn number 388. Have thine own way. Pay attention to the words. We sing this hymn here a lot. Pay attention to the words in light of what we just talked about. I think you'll understand something.